And welcome.
Welcome into Gravel Talk, ladies and gents. Thank you for joining us.
Well, this week in the Spotlight and Squared Circle, we are sitting down with
Greg Gagne, the son of Vern Gagne.
We're sitting down with Larry the Axe Henning.
We're sitting down in the Spotlight and Squared Circle with Ryan Allen, Darren Corbin,
Zach Gowen.
We're sitting down with Dick Justice.
You're listening to Gravel Talk, keeping you up to date on the Midwestern independent wrestling.
And we are live!
Welcome into Gravel Talk, ladies and gents. Nick Ragnar joined by AC Riley, Jesse, Von, Rage. How's it going, guys?
Going good. How are you?
Good. I held you guys up late. Obviously, people don't know that listening, but I'm a half an hour late today.
Hey, that's okay, man. Yeah. You know, like the last 7 days have been very monumental for both of you. I mean, you got engaged.
I forgot. Yeah, that's happened since.
So congratulations. Ended up seeing it on the Facebook Live. You got a lot of praise. And like, I thought the best part, though, was somehow you did the magic trick and got the napkin out for the knee.
Everybody keeps saying that was the best part of the video. I'll tell you the backstory behind it because people want to know. So I'm at the house and I'm like, what can I wear? You know, what can I wear on this perfect occasion? Mm-hmm. I know that we're going to get professional pictures done.
Yeah.
Just bought a brand new pair of khakis. Mm-hmm. I was like, and they fit me well. I'm like, these are good fitting khakis. They're comfy.
Like
they breathe
really
lightly.
The exterior looks really good too.
I don't know if you noticed that video, but I got a good looking ass in that video.
Well, you work out.
I do. Yeah, I work out. I work that badonkadonk. Now we're just getting weird. Anyways, but let's get back onto the story. So one time I decided to wear a pair of khakis to a sports shoot back in the day, and I had the unfortunate event of kneeling down, and I got a grass stain on them. And I was like, these were my favorite pair of khakis. Now I can never wear them again. So flash forward, all of a sudden now we're here. You know, engagement days come. Nick's got his khakis on. I'm like, no. I'm like, we're taking pictures after this. These are my favorite khakis. Can't risk the grass stain because I know we're doing it down where there's grass. So what do? Slip in one of those washcloths in my pocket, a little white one.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'll have time. I'll pull it out, put it right on the knee. Here's the stupid thing. If you go back and watch the video, you actually see me go down on my right knee right into the grass, and then I shuffle my knee up, which is asking for a grass stain. Luckily, no grass stain, though.
Wow.
So technically, you probably didn't need the washcloth, the napkin under the knee. But from what I've been told, that's been like five or six people's favorite part of the entire thing. Not the whole ring thing or the engagement part.
Well, I did
not the engagement, not the fact that she said yes. It was just like, oh, I really like the washcloth.
Well, actually, the part where Zari's like, what's going on? Why is everyone here? And you're like, turn around.
Yeah. I think what was great was two things. Was one, like, the way it worked out, it was almost looking like it was like a sequence to like a wrestling move, like to a finisher, because like you had Zari who had turned around. As she turned around, you walked like right past her, turned around and got on your knee.
So I was like, come on. Feed into it.
It looked like literally you just like shoved the guy off. You were like lining up for a spear or something like that. It's like basically a way that it was the timing with it. But it was really funny to see like all the reaction with it, but it was great too because like since you and I lived together, you know, I got to see some of like the pre-show essentially, and it was funny to have like Zari kind of getting, you know, pissed off about the photos.
She wasn't ever mad about it. This guy I'm telling Zari about the pictures, and I'm like, hey, we got to take pictures, and she's like, oh, I don't want to take pictures, and all of a sudden he's like, man, she got pissed about that.
Let me redefine of how I consider somebody to be pissed. She was raising her voice. Was she not raising her voice?
Not really.
She was.
There wasn't a single point
where
we were talking about that.
I am because I'm raising my voice.
Yeah, you're raising your voice.
No, but that's the thing is that like normally Zari talks a lot softer, but then when you were talking about the photos, she was yelling. There were times she actually yelled. Don't lie about it. And even she admitted that there's a couple times that she was.
She was never. I would say that she was never angry.
I'm not saying that she was about to throw a couch over her head or anything.
I guess that the difference between me and you is that obviously I'm engaged to her, and I'm not trying to be weird, but I'm trying to say like I know her, so I know that she might have been sounding whatever, but I could tell. You know, it's like when I was asking her, we were gonna take family pictures. We were gonna take family pictures. Like she wasn't actually gonna be like, no, I'm pissed off about this. It's just how she does things. She hates taking pictures.
Okay.
But it was funny, though, regardless,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Regardless whether she was pissed or not, that's at least how I interpreted it, and that's the end of the
game.
But
it was funny because you were in your room listening to pretty much me selling to her that we were not getting engaged.
Yeah,
we were doing
and that was the thing because it was Thursday when we got done and, you know, got to hear a little bit of that, and then, like, on Sunday it was the same thing where it was kind of like you got to –
No, she was getting a little pissy on Sunday. I'll give you that.
See? So
that's difference between Sunday and
so it's kind of like, oh, man, like she doesn't realize in like half an hour he's going to ask the big question kind of thing.
That's
but it was funny because like then we come back on Sunday, or you guys come back to the house and everything like that, and then she's like, "Did you know? Yeah, I'm so mad at you." Like she's like, "Well, like come
Did
on."
Did she raise her voice though?
No, she
then
just
she wasn't pissed. She wasn't angry.
Well, yeah. She wasn't pissed, yeah. But she was like, "I'm mad at you." Like jokingly, she was just like, "Yep, I hate you now."
Why are you supposed to sell out your best friend?
That's the thing. That was my logic. I was like, well, it's like I've known him for like 20 plus years. I've known you for like 7. I'm going to go with the guy that I'm going to go with the person that I've known a lot longer.
Appreciate
you know,
that.
I'm not going to be like, all right, cool, man. That's between us here at Grapple Talk. And it's like, hey, Zari, just so you know. And I even asked her as a follow up, I was like, let's be honest, would you have been that surprised? Or obviously she wouldn't be surprised, but it was like, would have been that special if I would have warned you? And she's like, no, you're right. So that's the thing. Is like it part of that whole engagement proposal is the surprise of it. So if you're walking into it, it's like, oh, he's going to ask me. I wonder what's going to be. It's kind of like then you're kind of anticipating it versus, hey, I'm just gonna taking photos. Like, wait, what's going on?
Yeah.
So.
Right.
Yeah, well, definitely. It's also been, a very momentous 7 days for Alex over here. He's finally a legit Pokemon trainer.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's right.
You are,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah,
you're a little bit better than me. You always come home.
Pokemon Go
you come home and you're like, I caught this today. I was like, I caught nothing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like even at our work, James Smizek, shout out to him.
Oh,
if anybody
name dropping that guy.
Name dropping. Wow. I'll pick it up later. but there'll be times like him and another guy on floor crew, like they'll be catching Pokemon left and right. And I'm just like, where the fuck did you get these guys?
It doesn't make sense, does it?
It doesn't. Like, there was like, oh, I caught a Dragonair. And I was like, how? That is ridiculous. And, all of a sudden, like for example, we were at work Wednesday, yesterday. Mm-hmm. We're recording on Thursday, obviously. And then it's just like, oh, I saw a Blastoise. I was like, huh, okay. And that
was. Yeah, that's what Smizek said. And I was like, no way, dude.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, and that's the thing. It's not like he was lying because, like, he showed me the screen and that was a Blastoise on the screen. But I was like, how did you get that?
Yeah, man. I literally took my dog on a walk just because, I'm starting to feel like I'm falling behind a little bit. Like, cause,
what, on the walking or the Pokemon Go?
Both, actually. Right. And so I wanted to catch up on the walking, did that, pulled the Pokemon Go out on my walk. Good half an hour walk, even used an incense with Jesse. If you don't know, by the way, an incense is kind of draws the Pokemon into you. Guess what? I saw Pidgeys the whole time. Nothing
else.
So
you have to burn an actual incense?
No,
or
it's a game one. Come on.
It's a game incense. But yeah. But still, I'm trying to catch up to all these guys that are catching these extravagant, crazy Pokemon, and I'm catching this little bird that everybody catches in the first day they're playing. I'm like, what are your people doing? And that's why I don't play as much. I just kind of listen to
stories. Were
you
walking by?
Actually, right around our house. I was walking around the north side. Pretty
that
much.
Might
give away your Pokemon secrets.
That might be it. That might be it partially though, because like it's one of those things where like I mean there's actually a Facebook group for like Pokemon Go and lacrosse, yeah. And it seems like Riverside is the common hotspot.
See, this is why I can't be a Pokemon trainer. I have no idea what I'm doing. It'd be like somebody's out looking for the abominable snowman, but they're like in the middle of the safari. They're like, I can't find him. Where's the abominable snowman?
Looking for the abominable snowman in like the Sahara Desert. It's like, I don't know where he is.
See, that's what I'm saying. That's me playing Pokemon pretty much.
It's the same.
The same thing. Anyways, guys, so yeah, lots of fun, obviously. And, last weekend, all three of us had the chance. We went to Beaver Dam for a show up there, Bash at the Beav. Jesse and I did some commentary, and then AC Rally, you had an impromptu match, and a lot of fun at that show, and the car ride wasn't too bad either, aside from AC Rally took a nap, I think, almost the entire way there, and definitely took a nap the entire way back.
I took a nap for about halfway there, because I was awake at least for the beginning of the trip.
Yeah, because you're playing Pokemon Go, you had your phone outside the car the whole time.
Hey, I was awake.
Yeah, you
I
were.
Was awake.
But on the way back, you weren't. And
on
pretty,
the way back.
I made a Snapchat story of all of your sleepiness.
Yeah, you totally big-timed us with your napping.
Yeah, but that's I was at least awake for the first half hour because of the fact that I had an incense burning for half an hour, and I had to make sure I stayed awake for that. Once it burned out, I was like, all right, nap time.
Now I want to know
what,
exactly.
An actual one or a fake one?
The Pokemon Go one. The
Pokemon Go one.
You could have just went to sleep.
No,
it's
because
not like it's going to burn down your house.
No, but it's like you only have like 30 minutes, and that's when like it's supposed to attract Pokemon to your area, and then if like it times that it caught. Take two.
You get them all riled up now.
He's getting pissed.
No,
he's getting pissed.
Like, but the incense like basically counts down in real time, so it's not like instant 30 minutes, and then you just close out and pauses. Like you know, 30 minutes later, if you're like, oh, I'll check out my see if it's still going, it'll be gone.
So have you met any attractive females playing Pokemon Go?
Actually, there have been a couple attractive females in Riverside.
I'm engaged right now, but I'm going to say this anyways. We were just down there because I was part of this ridiculous
shoot.
She
doesn't listen to the podcast anyway.
This ridiculous shoot that
probably
we did.
Listens to it.
Ridiculous shoot that probably I shouldn't have been a part of. But anyways, I was down there. Yeah, there were some fine ladies out there with their phones out, with their heads not looking up. It was kind of ridiculous, actually.
Not good for them.
It's just a weird craze. So yeah,
are you playing a Pokemon game right now?
Nope. Talking to people.
So here's the thing about Pokemon Go. You know, kept AC Riley up during a road trip a little bit, which is almost impossible.
For like a half hour.
For half an hour, but still, that's a long time. AC Riley, one question that I want to ask you, though, because you did sleep most of the time. What did you dream about?
You know, I didn't. I just, it was just in and out. Just fell asleep, and then all of a sudden.
You looked so comfy. You looked like you were melting at one point. Yeah. I don't know if you saw any of my pictures, but literally, this guy. Literally, looked lifeless. Like you looked like you just paralyzed.
See, any
how do you get that comfy in the back of a car? I just don't understand.
That's the thing. I don't, because
it was like 6 p.m.
I'll wake up and I'll just be stiff. But like, I think a lot of the reason that like I was still tired, like not
come on, man,
not that kind of get your mind out of the gutter.
No, what, you're the one who said it.
You're the one that said it. Dude.
You're the ones that are thinking it. Anyways, I think the reason that I was so tired is just because of the new sleep schedule that you turned me on to. It was just, you know, with the early shift, not breaking up, two 4-hour naps or anything like that, just going to bed at an early time and waking up at the time that I need to. So it was because, like, I was still kind of getting used to that schedule. Like, I think, you know, last week at Grapple Talk, like, as you know, I passed out almost, like, right after we got home, and that was roughly 4 or 5, you know, hung up for about an hour and then passed out, and that was technically leading into my day off, and I was like, oh, whoops, I'm still awake.
Yep.
And then same thing on Friday, I was still on that schedule, so then all of a sudden it's like I woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. I was like, whoop, I got nothing to do until 9 o'clock when we leave. So I think it was like I was still set up on that schedule. So once 6 o'clock came, it's like, hey, bedtime. But one thing that for me, like, you know, I know, you know, sleeping on the road's bad and all that stuff like that, but like anytime I'm driving and I have somebody to talk to, you know, two things. A, I'm driving, and also I'm communicating with somebody. I can stay up no problem. I don't even get like a hint of sleep even when I'm driving. But like anytime I ride with you guys and you guys start talking about baseball, I have no idea what you're talking about, and it's just like, all right, well, I'm trying to listen and then all of a sudden
in our defense, all right? We try to actually engage you in conversation, and at some point in time, you just zone out.
Yeah, but like you engage me in conversation after the baseball conversation when I'm already starting to drift out.
I feel like for the most part, we don't talk about sports unless you're already sleeping.
Exactly.
No,
Did you guys watch the All-Star game?
I didn't watch the All-Star game, but at the Home Run Derby. Oh, now
yeah, there he goes. Yeah.
No, but like it's we'll get into the car and then it will be like out of Alaska. Maybe we're talking about like NXT or something like that. Like, you know, we have like that common ground or something. And then all of a sudden, like, we'll get into, like, Bangor area or something like that. And we're, like, up into the Dells, like, you guys will be talking about the draft or, you know, for NBA or, you know, something big with the NFL. You're talking about your fantasy teams and stuff like that. And then I just hear that, and I'm just like, all right, cool. So this is going to be a long ride because I don't have service on my phone right now in this stretch. So I can't just, like, zone out on my phone and check stuff to keep awake. So then I'm just sitting there. I have nothing to contribute to baseball whatsoever because I don't watch it. And then all of a sudden, it's just like, oh, hey, we're at the venue.
Whoops. You can start conversation as well.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to be rude and just be like, hey, it's all about me, and I don't want to I don't want to talk about baseball anymore. I'm not going to be a dick about it.
This is getting real now.
Wow,
so we started out at
Naps. I'm surprised. Number one, it's always about him. And then number two, you actually are a dick. So I'm kind of surprised.
Wow.
That so it's just hot take, man.
Grapple talk heat.
Well, guys, that's probably enough for our banter back and forth. I feel like we've had probably enough time to do one that. We got to talk about wrestling.
One thing I want to say, though, speaking about wrestling, though, we're joking about the road trip there and back, but, like, you know, at Beaver Dam, like, we were there for a show, and, you know, we talked about what we did, but, like, we didn't talk about what the show was for. But, like, we were there for
Hodgkin's
lymphoma because Chase McCoy's wife is actually undergoing treatment for that, and to my knowledge, everything's going well with it. You know, it was a fun show. Like, the wrestling crowd, it wasn't really a wrestling crowd, but at the same time,
there was a lot of people there.
That's the thing. It even though the crowd wasn't necessarily a fan of wrestling, which is weird because, like, we used to be in Beaver Dam a ton of times. But, like,
but in Beaver Dam's defense, anytime we went there for a show, the crowd sucked balls.
Yeah, that's true. Did. But that's the thing is that, like, you know, it wasn't about the wrestling. It was about raising money for a cause. And to my knowledge, there was 200-plus people there. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much Kevin Thorne asked and everything. I know that we got envelopes, but I think most people turned them back and everything, you know, to donate to the cause and all that. But, I mean, I'm hoping, you know, you would assume $10 a pop, you know, 200-plus people. Like, that's still a good amount of money raised. So, I mean, it was a good time. It was for a good cause. And, yeah, so it was a good time. It was a good Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, a bunch of guys came together, had fun wrestling in the ring, and regardless if you raise $100 or you raise $5,000, you're still raising money for that cause. So, I mean,
yeah,
you can't really base it on a monetary amount because regardless, you raise that some sort of money. That's what I always say about
it. Even if you raise $5 to a cause, like that's still money raised towards. Plus, too, it was outdoors. It was a gorgeous day out. It was like, what, 90?
It was definitely not 90 because it was not that hot.
80?
Man, probably like 80.
It was.
We were right on the river too.
But
so
and that was
nice
the thing
breeze.
Too. It wasn't really humid. It was just dry heat. Mm-hmm. And it was a good day for an outdoor show. Like a lot of people got color. I know I was pretty burnt.
Wait. Like they started bleeding.
No, like you just got like you know more.
Come
bronze.
On, man. It's a wrestling podcast. This is what makes us think about it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, bronze. You know, people tan themselves and everything for wrestling and everything like that. You know, don't look at me like that.
Yeah. Do you? Bronze yourself too for shows?
I do not. Although I have tried it, it did not work out. You remember that?
I do remember that. You like get scurvy.
It wasn't scurvy.
Not me.
Well, like,
you did have scurvy.
This was like when I came back from Germany, and for whatever reason, and a lot of this was like you know Nick's girlfriend talking about like spray tanning and everything like that. So I was like, you know, I want to look you know good for the first wrestling show back, and I would figure I'd try spray tanning, and then I tried it. And then I didn't realize that if, you know, you spray tan and you're just tanning, like, out in the hot sun, it makes you orange. So I kind of looked orange when it came, you know, I looked like I had scurvy.
That's funny.
You know, it was funny looking at the photos. Like, oh, boy, that was not a good idea.
Yeah, he did that. Yeah, he did that. So, yeah, Orange AC Riley was at one point your gimmick.
Yeah, it was for one show.
It's better than Green AC Riley.
Yeah, but, like, I think a lot of it was, like, I was trying to offset my farmer's tan because, like, you know, like, anytime, like, I'm mowing the lawn or anytime I'm outside, it's, like, my, you know, like, a farmer's tan. I get a really bad one where it's, like, I'm brown, but then if I lift up my T-shirt and then, you know, shoulder, it's, like, it's pale.
Yeah, it's, like, welcome to the club.
Yeah, exactly. You know? So I was trying to be, like, oh, I'm trying to get rid of the farmer's tan, so I want to offset that
Make
with spray tanning. And then all of a sudden it's, like, whoops.
Have you thought about wearing a whole body outfit when you're outside mowing so that way you don't get tan, period?
Could do that, but I would probably also, like, sweat. You know, to the point where I couldn't even get out of the freaking suit, because that happened once when I was the Red Scorpion at the 4th of July show for PHPW. Wore that full body suit, and then it's like it was hot, and everything. It's like I need somebody to help me because I can't get out of this. I'm trapped.
So. Obviously, a really big week for wrestling. Big basketball of days, actually. Obviously, we saw Finn Balor taking on Shinsuke Nakamura in NXT, but that's not going to be the focus of what we're talking about today. What we're talking about today, guys. The Cruiserweight Classic getting underway, and I guess the best way that I can kick off, our coverage or talking about the Cruiserweight Classic. First things first for me, it was an awesome show, and boy, oh boy, I want to start with this just because before we start talking about the matches, I want to start with this. The commentary from was it Mauro and Daniel Bryan?
Yeah,
I mean, it was fantastic. I mean, I think that made Ranallo and Bryan. I think it was. Literally made the show just that much better. Like some of the things that they were calling and the reaction that they had. Like if you heard Brian, like, oh my gosh, dude dropping him on his neck. Oh my gosh, wow! And Brian offering literally more of like that athletic sports kind of commentary where he was giving a backstory and a reason as to why these guys were doing these things, and just Mauro's reactions to some of the I guess.
Well, he's a fantastic commentator.
He's a great commentator. I mean, in the way that he's calling it, it makes you feel like he's actually that play-by-play guy. And you have Daniel Bryan who's selling wrestling as an athletic competition, an athletic event, not selling storylines. I mean, while the storyline of the ring is happening itself, I mean, the commentary was just fantastic. What did you guys think about it?
Loved it.
I absolutely loved it. I thought it was great. Like, I mean, I told you today that, like, I have like, that downtime from when I get into work and, like, five, you know, from, like, essentially 3:30 to 5, To get all my prep work done and then, like, you know, just kind of get ready for the upcoming morning show at 5. I intentionally got everything I could done in 15 minutes that needed to be done before 5 o'clock just so I could just sit and watch that before the show started. Just because I really, like, I, you know, it was on Wednesday night, but, you know, I was sleeping by the time it was actually going to be, you know, broadcasting. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, I want to watch this. Like, I was going to watch it before the before we recorded, but I wanted to do it as soon as I could just because I didn't want,
spoilers,
you know, I didn't want spoilers. And that's the thing is because, like, all of a sudden there was, you know, the gifs of some of the moves and everything like that. So I just wanted to catch up as quickly as I could. But yeah, like the commentary team was phenomenal. It was great too, because like Daniel Bryan has said that, you know, he's wrestled like a good handful of the guys in the tournament. So he kind of had, he could give like the backstory based on his knowledge. Like he was talking about how, you know, Brian Kendrick was like his first, you know, wrestling opponent, how he's wrestled guys like Kota Ibushi, and he can kind of explain like what Kota Ibushi is to somebody that hasn't seen him wrestle. He's like, oh, I've wrestled this guy. He's super humble in the, you know, in the back. He's really quiet, but once he gets in the ring, he'll kill you with those kicks.
Yep.
And it's like, oh, okay, now I know who Kota is. But on top of that, like, there was so many guys, like, you know, just like that first match, like Grand Metalik versus Alejandro Saez. Like, I've never heard of any of those guys, but it was like, now it's kind of like, oh, I need to start watching more of these guys now.
That's too bad. Daniel Bryan's favorite guy from Chile is out of the tournament already. Yeah. Like that. He had a good showing. It was interesting to see how much weight some of these guys cut. Because
he cut like 30 pounds.
Like 30 pounds. Alexander, Cedric Alexander actually cut like 20 pounds in the tournament.
Yeah.
He had a great showing as well in his match.
Yeah. If we want to run down the since it's only four matches, I think we could probably talk about each one just a little bit if you guys wouldn't mind. Cause
also, really,
done any prep
while you're working on that, like I remember too, like. What I really liked as far as, like, explaining backstory, it was, like, they were explaining that in a lot of cases, even though, like, you know, especially, in the United States, like, obviously, these cruiserweights is, you know, an established thing, or Lucha Libre is an established thing, but, like, they're talking about how, like, you know, Saez, like, essentially brought pro wrestling to Chile, and how all these other places, like, there's no pro wrestling here, so it's, like, I had to essentially found it myself, or I was, like, a, you know, one of the founding members of this in my country. So it's cool too because you're like, I didn't know that. So
when we're talking about we're talking about the matches here a little bit, guys. Obviously, you don't want to spend too much time on this because we also want to talk about the draft a little bit. We also have an interview to get to later on with who are we doing today, by the way,
Jay Cross.
Jay Cross coming on later. By the way, we didn't have a chance to preview that. Also, didn't have a chance. If you haven't yet, hit up our Facebook page, .com/TheGrappleTalk for upcoming shows. We'll remind you at the end of the show as well. But let's start with the first match that was on the card. You had Grand Metalik.
Grand Metalik.
I watched.
They were kind of flipping in between.
And then you had Alejandro Saez, and guys, in my opinion, you know, the first match of the night, but I had the most fun watching this one. I mean, I don't know if it's because the energy was just all ramped up because you were getting to see your first match, but oh my goodness, is Grand Metalik definitely a favorite of mine to watch in the tournament. Just so fast, the Lucha Libre style was fantastic, and I mean, Alejandro Saez is also just a phenomenal worker, and I mean, these guys, talk about, you know, when you think about how bookers always talk about, you want to start things off with, like, you know, the first match of the show, it has to be fantastic.
Kind of sets the pace.
Yeah, sets the pace.
And that's exactly what this match did. What did you think, Jesse?
I thought Alejandro actually had some of the best facials I saw in the tournament
so far. Yeah, like, he did.
He didn't feel out of place, even though he kind of looked out of place, but he didn't feel out of place. It took him a while to get really his bearings, especially against Grand Metalik. He's got, like, man, like 10 years of experience. The guy's been all over the place. Wrestles for CMLL, New Japan Pro Wrestling. So this guy's been all over the place, and held his own. That shooting star press off the apron was very impressive. You know, that was at the point where you heard on commentary, they just, like, they went from straight, you know, serious all business to, like, man, we're having fun. This is a fanboy's dream come true. Thought these two guys really tore it up. It's too bad it's a single elimination tournament.
Yeah.
But that's just kind of the nature of the beast, and we're going to see how it goes into the second round. So
I think adding on to the shooting star press, like, I really thought the springboard off the second rope over the top, and that was phenomenal. It's just like, are you out of your fucking mind? Like, just the fact that he had the hops to be able to do that and, you know, land the distance. And on top of that, too, the fireman's carry, fisherman slam.
He almost lost his mask.
Yeah.
He actually did lose his mask when he slammed him.
Yeah.
Like, Alejandro actually held on to the guy's head, and actually his mask did come off.
And you could see, like, in the replay, like, after the pin, like, he was kind of like, I don't want to really come up yet. So, like, he just basically had his head buried in his taint. But, like, I mean, at the same time, like you said, like, it set the pace for the Cruiserweight tournament because you got to see a lot of the high-flying style that you essentially, like, is stereotypically added to the term Cruiserweight. But, like, that was the thing that they really emphasized in the bracketology was that similar to the UFC, how, you know, then there was the wrestlers, then there was the boxers, then the judo fighters and the jiu-jitsu fighters. And it was just, like, which is the better style of everything? So you got to see some of that where you got to see the high flying, but you also got to see some striking. You got to see some power. And I think that really is essentially established that this isn't just going to be high flying Lucha Libre. This is going to be, you know, everything. This is literally going to be everything. It's just the only thing that essentially is going to be the same. It's just these guys are going to be under 205.
Well, the nice part about this match, too, is that, like, you know, the Shooting Star Press or the second rope jump to the outside, pretty much springboard to the outside. Pretty much what you saw from these guys was things that you haven't had the chance to really see a lot of in WWE's product. So when you're trying to sell this, you know, to a casual fan, they're watching this and now they're seeing things that they've never seen before, and it's going to keep them sticking around for more. And that's what led us into Ho-Ho-Lun, or Loon, as Daniel Bryan called him. So I'm still unsure which one that was because
he just loves saying Ho-Ho, though.
Yeah, Ho-Ho-Lun or Lun, taking on Arya Daivari, that we see quite a bit at, especially at First Ave. And guys, I mean, this match, I was telling Riley this a little bit earlier. I think it was really good. It was another solid match. In my opinion, I don't know how long Loon's been in the business. I mean, I don't know if you know Jesse, but to me, he still seemed like he maybe needs a little bit more compared to some of the other guys. He still seemed a little green to me, and I don't know if that's just how they do things or how they learn things over in China, because I don't know too much about China work. But he just, to me, Loon just seemed, compared to everybody else that I saw, he seemed I hate saying this because I don't like being the critic, but he seemed a notch below everybody else that I was watching. Like, his facials didn't seem like they were meshing well with everybody else's. It just seemed like his strikes weren't as good. It seemed like Arya, in my opinion, when you watch that match, it seemed like Arya carried the match as far as maybe calling it too. And that's pretty much what I got.
I thought, like, Long might be a couple years into this, and I think with him, the thing that really kind of hurts him might be the fact that he doesn't really have that seasoning.
Yeah.
You know, he's gone over to the UK. He's wrestled a lot of guys over there. He's gone over to Japan as well. Mm-hmm. But it just might just be that seasoning. And, like, perhaps the travel as well. And you're also looking at first time, maybe jitters and stuff like that. Daivari, man, he looked like a star in that match. It was one of those things where you go on Twitter afterwards, and, you know, you got a lot of the internet smarks on there. And almost everyone's like, Daivari needs to be signed.
Yeah.
And, like, that's great because this is a guy we get to see on, like, quite a regular basis, and he's definitely very talented. It's a shame, like I said earlier, it's a single elimination tournament because
it would have been nice to see Daivari.
If we're going to go behind the scenes and be like, okay, well, when we looked at the bracket, we're like, okay, Daivari's probably going to lose this matchup. But, like, honestly, performance-wise, he should be going on to the next round.
Yeah,
that's definitely how good of a performance he had.
Yeah, I was telling Riley that I really would have liked to have seen Daivari. I mean, just because, like I said, it seemed like Ho-Ho-Lun was just a step behind everybody else. It would have been nice to see Daivari against a guy, you know, like one of the guys in the first round. Just like, you know, a guy that could keep up with him a little bit, and he could have put on an even better performance than I already thought he did. Because, like I said, he had a great performance. It seemed like he carried the match for the most part. And I totally agree with you. I mean, if you want to base it on just performance alone, it would have been great to see Daivari going into the next round.
Yeah,
and that was the thing, too, is that, like, you know, we were looking at the bracketology, and we all predicted that Ho-Ho-Lun was going to go over Arya.
Just call him Ho-Ho.
Ho-Ho.
Yeah, Ho-Ho.
Yeah, so, like, we basically, all of us predicted, like, it was a unanimous thing that we were like, okay, Arya's probably not going to make it far. But then it's like, that's on paper, but then when you actually saw it on the network, you're like, man, can you imagine if Daivari would have won, kind of thing? Like, it was kind of like that unanimous, like, you know, okay, well, I know what I said last week, but this week, man, like, now they got to see the match, that's a different story. But, like, I really liked the selling that the commentary team did for Daivari, where, like, he walked out and they were just like, yeah, he calls himself the best wrestler in Minnesota, and then just talking about how, like, they were listing all the people that came out of Minnesota. Is like, well, when you're saying you're better than all those guys, that means that it's, you know, that's something. And it was really great. There was so many times, like, it was like, okay, maybe it's like, yep, Daivari's out after he missed that frog splash, and then he kicked out. I was like, maybe he's still actually not going to be out. I was like, oh, he's out. That sucks. It's good to see too that just as of today, he's signed for Mondo Lucha September 9th. So He'll be back in Milwaukee, so that'll be cool to see him there and everything. But, yeah.
It definitely has a lot more name value after that performance in front of a national crowd like WWE. Moving on to the next match, guys. You know, talking a lot about Cedric Alexander. Haven't had the chance to see a lot of him. I know I've seen a little bit of him here and there, but taking on Clement, I watched this while I was at work. It was like Petch. Like, they said it weird because it was a weird way that they pronounced
like
his last name.
Clement Patou or something like
Patou,
that?
Yeah, because he's
Patou.
Yeah, something like that. So apologize to you if you're listening because we know you're not anyways. But
oh, he totally is.
The reason Cedric Alexander, he also has an easier name to pronounce, but, man, this guy looks like – this guy looks to me like $1 million. Like, this is one of the dudes that I think needs to be signed right away. I mean, just the athleticism that he showed and some of the stuff that he was able to do as well, as far as just, like I said, athleticism, being able to do those quick the quick luchador-style moves that we've come to know, just really impressive. And, Patu as well, kind of showing off the power game here that Riley kind of alluded to earlier, where it's like you had those clash of styles, was really neat to see. And, you know, in my opinion, this is one of the better matches of the night. I can't even say that because all four of them were great. But just speaking from, like, not knowing who Cedric Alexander was a lot, I was extremely impressed, I guess, more or less.
Well, definitely. His name comes with a reputation, and he's a longtime mainstay over in Ring of Honor. The guy's been tearing up the indie scene for quite some time. And I really did like the story of how his passer actually said he was never going to make, and then he actually made that into the show. I thought it was really interesting and cool. These two guys got amazing chemistry. I thought they had a really solid match. Cedric Alexander is a guy, we said, you got to keep your eye on, especially in that top bracket, and it's really going to produce probably one of the better second-round matches we're going to see, you know, probably in a couple weeks, but we'll get to that match in just a moment. I thought it was a really good coming-out party. The crowd was definitely really into his character. He's an odds-on favorite right now. You want to keep tabs on him. But if it was your first time seeing Cedric Alexander like you have, you walked away thinking this guy's going to be a star.
This guy, yeah, I think this guy could easily be signed tomorrow and make a splash in NXT. I mean, instantly, no doubt. I mean, he had a ton of charisma in the ring as well. I mean, the guy was just blasting it. I couldn't even believe that this guy's been going, doing stuff on the indie networks for so long, and he's one of the guys that hasn't been signed yet.
Yeah.
I really can't add anything more to that because you guys really hit the nail on the head. But, yeah, I mean, Cedric Alexander, I mean, like, granted, a lot of these guys I've never heard of beforehand. And, like I said before, is that, you know, you watch this and then you're like, you see these guys on there and you're like, I want to watch more of this guy. I want to watch more of Saez. I want to watch more of Patu. You know, you want to watch more of Cedric Alexander, et cetera, et cetera. But, like, both these guys had a great match. Like you said, they had great chemistry. It was interesting to see, you know, wrestling coming out of France. You know, you got to see, like, that striking style. I really enjoyed, like, the interactions before and after the match because, you know, before the matches,
each other's
faces, you know, they'll
bit.
Do, like, the shake hands. Or, like, you know, he had, like, Arya who just stared at the ref and just, like, shake hands. Just no reaction whatsoever. Just like, I'm not going to get my hand up. Like, okay, whatever. And then, like, I was worried that Clement was going to do the same thing, but then I was he grabbed the hand and just, like, pulled him right in, and he's just like, oh, shit, this is getting kind of real right now. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Stuff.
Kudos to those guys for putting on a great show for maybe a lot of people, a big fan base that didn't know who they were. But then we move on to quite possibly, you know, the most anticipated debut on WWE television, at least. We had Kota Ibushi taking on Sean Maluda, and guys, Kota Ibushi, I think, pretty much his debut, I guess, more or less, with WWE TV, I don't think it could have went a lot better. Sean Maluda, a great opponent for him. But, I mean, honestly, if you could kind of tell a little bit, because I had my headphones on while I was watching this at work, and from everything that I heard, at least, I mean, WWE is selling Ibushi hardcore to the fans. I'd probably say 95% of the commentary during this match was aimed at Ibushi, because there was a couple times where they talked about Ibushi for a good, like, 5 minutes, and all of a sudden Daniel Bryan's like, well, we don't want to sell Maluda short. I mean, he's this guy, you know, he's a guy, whatever.
Well,
but
it was a traditional matchup of a national powerhouse.
It felt like
a
16. One against a 16. That's exactly what it felt like. You know, because Maluda, I think he had a real nice combination where I think he had it was a weird combination. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I remember it ended with a super kick, and he covered Ibushi, and you could hear just Brian, like, he's got the upset. He's pulling the upset.
Yeah.
It's like, man, nobody even knows who these guys are, but we're already, you know, establishing Ibushi, obviously, as the megastar of this tournament, and that's kind of what it felt like. But, you know, a great performance. Obviously, Sean Maluta, the fantastic selling that he did for Ibushi throughout the match. And Ibushi, yep. I wouldn't say he dominated the matchup, but, man, did he shine with a lot of the stuff that he did, whether it was the springboard moonsault to the outside. I was thinking that my favorite part of the whole matchup might have been just the Pele kick from the top rope, because that caught me out of surprise. And you just heard after he did, this dude, it looked like he was going to do a full-on backflip and land on the turnbuckle. Ibushi got so much air, and he just whipped this guy in the face, and it just made you go, wow, this is something that's
scary,
you haven't seen in a while. Yeah. Yep. And Ibushi's selling this guy bumped, like, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but according to Brian, he just had neck surgery.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure Ibushi purposely landed on his neck for bumps like 8 times.
Yeah.
This guy's just throwing his body. He looks like a rag doll.
He didn't wrestle the second half of the year in New Japan because of that herniated disc in his neck.
Yeah.
He was actually penciled in to be on that Wrestle Kingdom 10 show, but he couldn't do it because of, health reasons. And, like, the amount of selling and bumping it down in his neck, and especially with Brian with his history of neck issues, you almost felt that passion.
Yeah,
It's like, don't do it, kid.
Yep.
Don't do it.
Yep.
You know?
Yep, I heard that.
And the one thing, too, I'm wondering is, like, kind of what we were talking about, that, like, they've been selling Kota as the powerhouse, the guy that's probably going to win it all, they're talking. And even, like, the hype pack is, like, showing NXT TakeOver Dallas and just showing him in the audience, like, that's Kota Ibushi. He's one of the greatest guys in independent wrestling right now. Just all that stuff. They're hyping him as, like, the hottest free agent, and everything. And then all of a sudden it was like, I don't know who the fuck this Sean Maluta guy is. But, like, at the same time, like, I wonder if, like, they purposely paired him with Sean Maluta because of his legacy with the Samoan Dynasty. So then it's kind of like the superstar versus, like, the reputation. Maybe so then it was kind of like one of those things where it's just like, well, hey, we're not trying to make Kota look like he's a lot bigger than he is because we're getting against this guy that has all this experience coming into it. But I think that's kind of how it ended up being no matter what. But
yeah, it's hard. It's going to be real hard for WWE to sell Ibushi losing any of these first couple of round matchups. I think his next matchup against Cedric Alexander will probably be his biggest test, but it's going to be real hard to make him seem like he's going to be losing any of these because he's been built up as that megastar, and he proved it. I mean, the guy had looked like $1 million out there.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, he's 34 years old, guys. Did you know this? I mean, but if you watch him in the ring and you he seems like he's like in his mid-20s still.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, too. I have a feeling that whoever beats Kota, like if Kota does not make it to the finals, I feel like whoever beats him is going to have that constant reminder is like, this is the guy that beat Kota Ibushi. Like, so that like Kota essentially, even if he doesn't make it farther into the tournament, they'll constantly be reminding everybody that's listening of Kota Ibushi. Just because it's just like, this is the guy that beat Kota Ibushi who was the odds-on favorite. And it's like, that guy got eliminated like 2 rounds ago, and you're still talking about him kind of thing. But, I mean, like you said, like it's going to be hard for them to sell him losing.
It's just when you look at like how we're talking about Daivari, when you look at performance and that's what you want to move on to the next round, when you see what Kota Ibushi can do, especially against a guy like Sean Maluta, it makes you think, how can you let this guy lose at this point? Because, four spectacular matches, but it's hard to argue against Ibushi and how great that he looked in that matchup. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, great job, Cruiserweight Classic on that first week of action. You guys have any more that you want to talk about the CWC, or you want to move on to the draft?
We could almost preview next week's matches. We got those popped up.
That's right. That's right. Unfortunately, I was at work, so I did not pay much attention to the preview because I was going to look it up later. So I don't exactly know what's coming up next week.
Yeah,
I think know that Tajiri's on next week, though. I think I saw that.
Tajiri is on next week. He's wrestling the guy from Australia, I believe.
Yes.
I cannot remember his name, though. While you're looking that up, I will ask this, so it doesn't seem like we're stalling incredibly hardcore.
That's the whole podcast.
Match of the night from yesterday. Nick.
That's tough, man. I would say it's hard for me, but I would probably have to – I'd probably go with Grand Metalik as that number one spot, and I'd probably put – I don't know. Nothing on Daivari because I think he performed well, and Hoho Loon again performed great too. But I think it was hard following that matchup, and then also being behind Cedric Alexander doing some of the stuff he did, like the backhand spring, like head scissor takeover thing that he did. You know, just some of that crazy athleticism that he proved. But I think it's hard to pick a number one match. I told you earlier I thought Grand Metalik's match was my favorite just because. But then sometimes you always look at that as like a, you know, it's the first match you watch, you're hyped to watch it, you see all this cool stuff, and then all of a sudden you're jacked the rest of the show, so it's kind of hard to top that. Kota Ibushi's match was obviously fantastic just for everything we just talked about. And Cedric Alexander, again, another surprise that took me off guard, so I don't know. It's hard for me to pick. I mean, what do you think?
I think for me it would be Grand Metalik and Saez, but like it's not because it's the first match and that's like the first thing that's implemented in your memory. Like, yeah, that happened and everything, but I think it was like one of the only matches that didn't have any name value attached to it, at least from where I was sitting. I mean, I'm sure somebody will argue, well, Grand Metalik,
oh, yeah, because we know who Daivari was, he knew who Cedric Alexander was, and he knew who Kota
exactly.
Ibushi was.
So it's like, for me watching this, I had no idea who Grand Metalik was, I had no idea who Saez was, except for everything that I've learned in the bracketology from last week. So I think for me, that was the best match because didn't know anything about these guys, and I was just so amazed by everything they were doing. Nothing discredited about Daivari's match, nothing discredited about Cedric's match or Kota's match, but that match for me was essentially the dark horse match where I was thinking, all right, I don't know anything about these guys. And I was like, holy shit, I want to watch everything that these guys have.
All right, cool. So next week, you're going to see Lince Dorado taking on Mustafa Ali.
Yep.
You're going to see TJ Perkins in action against Damac.
Yep.
You're also going to see, we got that Tajiri match against Damian Slater. That should be an interesting one. And Tozawa's taking on Kenneth Johnson.
Yep, Kenneth Johnson, I believe from Michigan, if that's correct.
Detroit.
I think
from Detroit, Michigan.
Yep.
So we got another Midwest guy in there, but I think a lot of us during our predictions predicted that Tozawa might be one of those guys to keep an eye on to go far in the tournament. That's another solid slate of guys. You know, Tajiri, the two wily veterans being Brian Kendrick and Tajiri, you almost look at as guys that are maybe making an appearance to add a little name value and maybe give some of these younger guys a little rub. So, I mean, Tajiri's match, could go either way. I think you most likely will see Tajiri win one of them.
Yep.
But then you're looking at Damac and TJ Perkins. I think that could steal a month's worth of matches. We looked up a couple of things from both guys since we talked about them a little bit last time. And then
Mustafa Ali.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Mustafa Ali.
I think going into next week, that's the match I'm looking forward to the most.
Just because of the Chicago tie or what?
Well, because of that, that's one thing I talked about last week as well, is like that's a match you would see in the Midwest, and now you're getting to see it on the network. But, I mean, I love seeing Lince Dorado work. I love seeing Mustafa Ali work when I see the stuff in freelance. So I'm really excited to see those two go together, and I'm excited to – a lot of this is because I recognize who those guys are. I know who they are. So, you know, seeing two guys I know opposed to one guy going against a guy I don't know, it's like, oh, these guys are going together. That's awesome. I'm looking forward to that.
I like the fresh matchups. This is different.
Yeah.
You know, we don't get to see this on a regular
basis. And that's the thing, is that I enjoy the fresh up matchups as well. It's just I'm saying going into next week and identifying two people going against each other, for me, it's like I'm excited to see.
Well, we know that.
The reason I like this so much from AC Riley, Jesse, is because we go up on road trips all the time, right? And, you know, I'm sitting here talking about how much I love my Patriots. You talk about the Packers a lot. We talk about Bucks basketball and stuff, you know, our passion for sports. But then you listen to AC Riley. I mean, now he's rallying behind some of these hometown wrestlers. And now it's like, oh, AC Riley has a home team, a hometown sports team.
Yep.
It's different. It's weird.
It is weird.
Isn't it? He's, you know, sitting here, you know, sticking by all the Midwest guys, as we all are, obviously. But, you know, AC Riley going hometown, you know, he's a homer. And that's definitely A-okay because that's how we are with regular sports.
All right.
So it's, you don't like wrestlers from the West Coast?
I didn't say that.
But if Midwest guys going up against West Coast guys, who are you rooting for?
I'm rooting for the Midwest.
All right.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Like that, and that's the thing. Is like I've never heard of Kenneth Johnson prior to the tournament. But I'm excited to see what
he does.
He's
from the Midwest.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But that's the thing. On top of that is, like, you see a lot of guys from Michigan that are phenomenal. You see, like, guys like Movado. You see Rhino, Zach Gowan. The list goes on. And you see, like, a lot of great talent come out of Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I'm kind of surprised I haven't heard of the Kenneth Johnson because of that and because our podcast covers Midwest independent wrestling. So I'm excited to see, okay, here's this guy that – been in my area, part of my hometown team, and I haven't heard of him, so I'm excited to see. It's like, oh, is he gonna live up to the Michigan legacy? I'm pretty sure he will, but
we'll find out next week.
Yeah, we will.
He wouldn't be in the tournament if he didn't live up to that legacy of great professional wrestling from Michigan.
Like
if he shit the bed, they'd be like, why did we bring him on? You know what I mean? Like, he probably wouldn't be on the radar.
Definitely. Anyways. All right, guys. So, we aside from that, so we can get moving on along, we do have another interview. Jay Cross coming up in just a couple of minutes. But before we get there, we want to preview also the WWE draft, the WWE draft, which is how Michael Cole would say it, coming up. I believe it's going to be on Tuesday. And if I'm not, if I'm not mistaken, I believe the WWE Network is also going to have a simulcast of the draft results during that live SmackDown, I believe, is what I read. So if you don't have cable like moi, you can still keep up with the draft, which I won't be.
It would be
kind of
weird if
sleeping.
You had cable and he didn't have cable and you were that type of dickhead roommate who's like, hey, man, you can't watch my cable.
I would be that much of an asshole.
That's more of my kind of roommate. I'd probably do that. But yeah. I'll probably be sleeping anyway, so it'll be more or less of like a wake up and check the results thing. But. Mm-hmm. Guys, so we kind of wanted to talk about this a little bit. I don't know if we have enough time to do a full mock draft. I don't know how many rounds there are going to be, but just from your guys' opinions, you know, based on what where storylines are right now and just talent in general, what do you guys think some of those first couple of picks are going to be and why?
I could see Raw really kind of keeping with the establishment, SmackDown kind of going with, like, the counterculture guys.
You think so, really?
Just based on the personalities of Shane and Steph.
You really think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of the guys that are going to – I'm sure the Wyatt family will be top picks. I'm sure New Day will be top picks. I think a lot of it, especially, too, is, like, where they want to go forward because, obviously, they're the – one of the hot rumors is that they're going to split New Day up. So, obviously, that could be –
this could be the opportunity.
That could be the opportunity where it's just like, well, I choose Big E. It's like, well, I choose Kofi Kingston. It's like, well, hold on a second. The New Day's gone now, or they're at least split up. Or it could be one of those things where – I mean, I know that essentially the draft has always been like a week of like the top 10 picks, and then it's kind of like, here's our supplemental draft, and here's everybody else that got added to the roster. And for all we know, that could be how the New Day ends up getting split up. It's like, hey, so these guys are on the rosters.
But why would that be a storyline that you'd want to show on?
No, and that's the thing is that like if it's a I'm sure like if it was a supplemental draft pick, I'm sure the New Day would essentially acknowledge that and make something of that, but more than likely that will be a part of the main draft. It was what I'm saying. I'm just saying I can see both sides of it.
I'm just trying to figure out how it works because obviously what you're going to see, I think off the top of the show, you're going to see somebody take the champ. You're going to see somebody take Dean Ambrose because that's going to be the number one thing that they're probably going to discuss is, well, then what are we going to do? The champ's on one. I'm going to get a belt. And when I get that belt, I'm going to give it to my number one pick, who's going to be Seth Rollins.
Yep.
Yeah, but you got Rollins and Ambrose on Monday. So, I mean, even Ambrose could not even go into the draft as the champion.
That's
could
right.
be Seth Rollins.
Yeah, good.
But at the same time, like, we've seen that a lot with the other drafts where it would be like Batista drafted to SmackDown. He was a Raw guy. And then Triple H would essentially be the Raw guy. He's like, well, I'm going to take the belt back with me to Raw. And then Batista would essentially bring the belt to SmackDown like the month later, essentially after like a Hell in a Cell. Same thing with John Cena and Chris Jericho.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting, guys. I mean, again, I haven't been keeping up with Raw too much. I've been doing NXT
really
and CWC. I haven't been missing too much. But, yeah, it's I just think I'm intrigued to see where they go. I'm intrigued to see if like Brock Lesnar is one of the first picks, or John Cena, or if they're going to go a different route, or like where a guy like AJ Styles is going to end up, how they're going to do the whole the club thing. I mean, I'm interested to see if this is going to be a similar playoff to what they did after the whole invasion angle when Flair took one side and Vince took the other. I'm interested to see if that's how it is or if it's going to work into something completely different. And how we talked about last time, like, are they going to add some more sports elements to this? Are there going to be trades that we're going to see on the night of? Like, I don't know how that's going
to
work.
I wouldn't be surprised if you get to the point where, let's say, like the New Day, right? Like, Shane really wants the New Day on SmackDown. So what happens if Steph actually decides to draft one of them first, and he's already got one of them? Is he going to swap a pick just to get back like Big E or something?
Yeah, right. That's something I think that's going to be really interesting. And I like the part two. And this is where a lot of it comes into play as well. But, I mean, this is the start. This is like literally they've been talking about since WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But this is literally the start of a new era. I mean, you got live SmackDowns now going forward. Mm-hmm. You have the draft. You're going to have different rosters. This is something that's going to be completely different. You have writing teams for both shows.
Yep.
And I'm just interested to see how they write this out and make this, the drama continue through draft night. Because, I remember the previous draft. I was still pretty young when I watched it. But I remember, it was how you'd expect WWE to do a draft. So I'm just kind of interested, I guess, more or less to see how this how this happens. I mean, do we know that Shane and Steph are for sure the GMs of each show?
I love their commissioners,
like commissioners, and they get their own GMs.
So there you go. That's another angle that they're going to have to take throughout the maybe they'll figure out on the night of, and who knows? Maybe we'll get like a cool new SmackDown set or something, or maybe we'll get some new theme music. I remember that was always really cool.
Yeah,
you know, like when
what if they bring the Fist back to SmackDown?
I love the Fist. There was that one point where I believe Heidenreich had Michael Cole held hostage up there.
Yeah.
Yep. You're not wrong.
Yeah, I remember that.
Too bad that one didn't play out like we hoped.
That did not end well for Michael Cole. But, hey, he got a job out of it. So.
Yeah, he did.
You got to hear some poetry, too.
Yeah, that's right. All right, guys. Well, that does it for our national coverage. We got you guys interviewed Jay Cross.
I interviewed
Jay Cross. So this is on you, Ace Ross. So why don't you give us a really, really quick preview leading into it, but don't give anything away.
All right. Well, talk to Jay Cross a little bit about his background. Talk to about his coming up as a second-generation wrestler. It was a good talk with Jay Cross.
Fantastic. Well, that's our after the break right here on Grapple Talk.
What's up, guys? It's one of three of your favorite wrestling podcast hosts, AC Riley from Grapple Talk here. Are you a listener or even a host of another podcast and you just don't know how to get the word out about the podcast? Send us a promo advertising what your show is about to grappletalkpodcast@gmail.com. And if you're not a podcast host, but maybe something independent wrestling that you're looking to get the word on about, shoot us an email with your promo as well. We don't discriminate. Let's face it, it's tough for the small guys to get the word out. So what better way than to band together with fellow small guys, aka advertising on a podcast? It's that easy to do. Just send a promo to grappletalkpodcast@gmail.com and we'll make sure people know about you, your podcast, or maybe something else related to independent wrestling. Hopefully you're enjoying the show, and as always, support independent wrestling.
everybody. It's me, Darren Corbin.
I've always gotten the question, why do I not do my own podcast? Well, I've branched out and I've tried to do Wrestling Reflections and the Wrestlers Reviewing Movie Letter, plus my promos that I flood your feed with all the time. And the number one reason is, when it comes to podcasts, everyone can always find a way to hear myself talk, and there's numerous podcasts out there, but I want to give my endorsement to one very special one. And that'd be Grapple Talk, that covers a lot of the Midwest independent wrestling highlights. See, a lot of the local Midwest wrestlers are the spotlight of the Squared Circle hosts. And that would be Nick Ragnar, Jesse Von Rudin, and AC Riley. And every week on iTunes or Podbean, you can catch their podcast. So I just want to give them a shout out. So if you're asking me why I don't do podcasts and you're maybe looking for my opinion, check them out for all your podcast needs and take a look and keep supporting independent wrestling in the Midwest.
It's not about the shoes. It's about knowing where you're going, not forgetting where you started. It's about having the courage to fail, not breaking when you're broken, taking everything you've been given and making something better. It's about work for glory, and what's inside of you is doing what they say you can't. It's not about the shoes, it's about what you do in them. It's about being who you were born to be.
Hi, this is Corey from Independent Wrestling Apparel. Are you an independent wrestler trying to get t-shirts made or hosted online for sales? Visit us at independentwrestlingapparel.com or email us at indiewrestlingapparel@gmail.com and find out how you can get sponsored today. Are you a fan looking to get a shirt from your favorite independent wrestler? Visit our website at www.independentwrestlingapparel.com today and purchase your shirt of your favorite independent wrestler.
Hey, Grapple Talk listeners, this is Chris from Spot Monkey Media. Are you a professional wrestler, a promoter, a business owner? Spot Monkey Media is graphic design for the wrestling professional. We offer design services for t-shirts, event posters, 8x10s, logos, and even ring gear. But if you're not in the wrestling business, we work outside the ropes. Go to spotmonkeymedia.com for more information. Spot Monkey Media, create your legacy.
Hello, wrestling fans. Colt Cabana coming to you live from the 1 Hour Tees Arena in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. The pro wrestling action has been great so far. As you can see, Joey really dominating the ring so far. There's a beautiful belly-to-back suplex. And looks like Joey's shirt has been ripped.
What's up with that? You ripped my shirt.
Let's go check an instant replay, see exactly what happened. There you can see Joey's shirt ripped from the collar, and that's not good when you're trying to wear your pro wrestling t-shirt.
Man, you ripped my shirt. It's my only shirt. Joey.
Hey, looks like Ryan from 1 Hour Tees just threw Joey Ryan a brand new t-shirt.
Thanks, Pro Wrestling Tees.
ProWrestlingTees.com, over 3,000 wrestling t-shirts designed and sold by pro wrestlers. Wrestlers such as Steve Austin, CM Punk, Macho Man, Mick Foley, DDP, Andre the Giant, Jake the Snake, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Scott Hall, Ted DiBiase, Colt Cabana, Joey Ryan, Cliff Compton, and the entire Bullet Club. All stores owned by pro wrestlers. Support pro wrestling today and visit ProWrestlingTees.com.
This is Stacy Shadows.
We've said it numerous times that Stacy Shadows is one bad bitch.
And you're listening to Grapple Talk, the best indie wrestling podcast right now known to man.
And now, the moment you've been waiting for. It's Spotlight in the Squared Circle.
Grapple Talk Spotlight in the Squared Circle, sitting down with Jay Cross, 1 year in the making. So a little backstory about this. So, back when we were doing over-the-phone interviews, I mean, it's tough, first of all. It's tough to try to schedule a free time for everybody to talk. Yes. So it's one thing to try to find a schedule that matches for the guy that we're interviewing, but then it's also hard to match that with three different work schedules. So it's a year in the making. Finally figured, well, we're at enough BCW shows together, we could actually do this in the show. Weird, right?
It makes sense, right?
It makes sense. So we're finally getting to do this. So Jay Cross, thanks for being on the Spotlight Square Circle.
Thanks for having me. You know, it's like you said, it's been a year in the making. Been looking forward to it. Let's get the questions rolling.
So first things first, man. How'd you get into pro wrestling?
I actually grew up kind of on the road. I traveled with my dad and Derek St. Holmes Esquire. Traveled with them, and I was like the little 10-year-old in the back seat. Eventually, I was like, Dad, I want to be a pro wrestler. And he's like, go to college. So I took out a big loan, never finished college, paid for wrestling school, and here we are.
Now, I think Jesse might have said this. Maybe I heard it wrong, but are you second generation?
Second generation.
So what's that like? What's that like to basically grow up in the wrestling business because you know, you're a second generation guy? What's that like?
You know, it's cool. Like, me and my dad have done some stuff, but, like, at the end of the day, I don't know. Anybody that's in the business does not wish someone else to be in the business. So
that, why kind of your dad was like, go to school instead of going being a wrestler?
I mean, my dad wasn't against it. He wanted me to do my shit, but he wanted me to go to school first. I did go to school, and I ended up getting, like, the kind of shoot job. There goes the fourth wall. I got the shoot job that I kind of wanted, and then I was like, you know what? Like, this college thing, like, I got what I wanted. Why? Whatever, pro wrestling. So I just kind of threw it to the side, and here we are. I mean, he's supportive. He's always been supportive, but he definitely, you know, wishes I would have had a degree, and now looking back, it would have been a good idea, you know?
So you guys ever at the Thanksgiving table and it's like, hey son, so I watched your match and here's some things I noticed of how to be a better wrestler. Does that happen at all around the dinner table?
No.
No?
No, not at all. You know, like my dad's easily my biggest fan, and you know, I'm very happy with that. But like, you know, it's different to talk to him now because he's not in the business. So like he does get the business, but once you're out, like you don't really, you kind of forget about how the business is. So it's not really like that. I mean, like, he gives me ideas, he tells me how it should be, or you know, I'll do this, but never really like business stuff, like just more of a father watching a son.
Sure. So when you rode up with your dad and Derek St. Holmes, was this before you even wanted to get into wrestling, basically? So, like, you would just essentially ride with your dad to a show, and St. Holmes was along with the ride for the carpool, or?
Yeah, they traveled together. I always wanted to be a pro wrestler. Ever since I was a kid, like, I always wanted to do that. And I think a lot of stuff took a backseat to that, like, being in school, they were like, oh, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I was like, a pro wrestler. And they're like, that's not a thing to be. And I was always like, yeah, it is. Like,
yeah, it's one of those things where so many people will knock on pro wrestling, but at the same time, it's one of those things where it's a lot more obtainable dream to actually have than being an astronaut or a firefighter or anything like that. So it's funny because the people that knock you for it are like, well, I'm living my dream. Are you?
The same people that buy $20 tickets to see you. Like, I've ran into so many teachers that they're like, ah, so what are you doing now? And I'll be like, ah, pro wrestling. And they'll be like, oh, really, where? You know, and they show up and, you know, they're always like, ah, you know, it's nice to see you doing this. And I was like, that's funny, because yeah, in high school you were like, grow up.
It is really weird because it's you go in high school and everybody's saying like, oh man, like why do you want to be a pro wrestler? That shit's stupid. And then it's like 10 years later, just like, oh man, you're a pro wrestler?
Why?
That's so cool.
Why wouldn't you want to be a pro wrestler? I mean, growing up, like,
they're the cool guys.
I always loved pro wrestling. And ever since I was a kid, like, I never wanted to be a baseball player. I never wanted to be a football player. I always wanted to be a pro wrestler. And, like, my parents maybe pushed for me to be that football player. But I was like, I'll be a pro wrestler.
So what was your favorite road trip memory when you were riding up with St. Holmes and your dad? What was a good memory that stuck out as a kid?
Obviously, like, just meeting a lot of people. Like, weird story. Ken Anderson, I don't think it's his wife now, but girlfriend at the time, used to babysit me.
Oh, yeah?
So that was kind of cool. So, I mean, just meeting a lot of those guys, and then when you get into the business, it's cool. Sorry, Derek St. Holmes, but yeah, I used to, like, drive with him, and then 15 years later, I'm
I've wrestled him so many times. So yeah. It's just like the kid in the back seats living his dream.
Is that weird at all to think that as a kid that you used to ride with St. Holmes and now like you're sharing the same locker room with him at places, working him a lot? And
very.
Yeah?
Weird. Definitely weird.
Definitely weird. So we talked about road trip stories as a kid. You said you had a pretty interesting road trip story from Godfrey, was it?
Godly, Illinois.
Excuse me. Don't want to insult the people from Godly, Illinois by mispronouncing their name. So Godly, Illinois.
You know, it's not very godly town.
Oh,
I'll
really?
Just, I'll get it out there.
All right.
So I show up to Godly, Illinois, and you know, it's no Wisconsin. It's no Wisconsin. So I'm in my match, and you know, I felt bad about it, but in the middle of my match, grab my opponent, look over. I look at this kid and I'm like, get out of the way. Grab my opponent and go to, you know, I'm going to shove his head into the chair. Why not? Turn around, kid hasn't moved. I look at him like, get out of the way. I'm screaming at the kid now. Not moving. So, you know, for the kid's safety, I like scoot him out of the way. I'm not going to say I grabbed him.
Right.
But, like, I kind of like shoot him out of the way. Gave the guy the chair. Next thing I know, I got Grandpa. Like, fuming.
Oh, no.
Grandpa wants to kill me. So, I'm like,
And you can't kill Grandpa.
Right? And so, I get in back. A couple of the guys come up. Be like, oh, dude, don't worry about it. You know, shit happens. Like, you know, that kid. They said some pretty unnice things about it. Like,
sure.
pretty, like, grab my collar. So, then, next thing you know, dude behind me goes, hey, that's my kid. And I was like, ugh. So I look over at my guys and I'm like, oh, I didn't say anything. That's what they said. So, I mean, long story short, Grandpa's pissed, wants to kill me. Dad didn't see it, but, like, Dad's like,
look. Dad's hearing about it.
Dad's like, look, like, I hope that it isn't as bad as my dad's saying. And I was like, dude, it wasn't. I was like, look, was I in the wrong? Yes. Probably shouldn't have touched him. But at the end of the day, I was trying to make sure that he was out of the way.
Sure.
Whatever. Like, trying to make sure the kid's safe. So, like, next thing you know, guy comes back. Mr. Ricola comes back, and he's like, hey, that kid, he's deaf. I was like,
Oh, no.
I was like, look.
So
like,
he wasn't ignoring you. He just couldn't hear you.
Yeah, and like I said, like, how was I supposed to know? It wasn't, like, an obvious thing. I felt awful about it. Next thing you know, they're like, oh, you know, they're going to call the cops, whatever. Like, backstory, I've worked with kids for the last 7 years of my life.
Yeah.
I'm the last guy that would try to do that. So I'm like, all right, look, I'll do whatever. I told Dad, I was like, look, I'll do whatever. Like, does he want to meet me? Does he want a T-shirt? Like, let's smooth it over. So I smooth it over. So we go out for my match. Guy I'm wrestling throws me out. Next thing you know, Grandpa's putting the boots to me.
Oh, no.
Like, I'm laying on the ground looking up. Grandpa's putting the boots to me. So I get picked up. The guy I'm working holds me. And I'm like, whatever. And like, it's cool. Like, unload. So, Grandpa starts chopping me. And he doesn't, like, chop me. Like, he, like, judo chops me.
Oh, no.
Like, he's just like, yo, son of a bitch. So, I'm just like, ah, whatever, you know. And so, he throws me in the ring. We get back there. I drove up with the ref for the show, so the ref's freaking out. Like, it's a good friend of mine. So, we get back there, and he's just like, what the hell was that? Like, and I'm just like, ah, it's cool, whatever. Like, it, you know, as long as they're happy with it, whatever, he'll go to school on Monday, he'll be like, ah, some, you know, big wrestler threw me out of the way, and then Grandpa beat him up. And I was so, whatever.
That's a good story.
As long as everybody's happy, I'm fine. So, I was like, all right, cool. So, then, you know, we're working, and I show up the next month. And I'm like, all right, you know, they won't be there. It's all done. At this point, I'm worried about getting stabbed. Like, sure. I'm thinking I'm going to go out there and someone's going to stab me.
Makes sense.
So, like, I show up. The promoter's like, hey, man, Grandpa's here. And I'm like, oh,
he's like, you know, he apologized for last month. He said maybe he went a little overboard.
Maybe.
And I was like, maybe, maybe, you know. So, like, I get out there, and I'm thinking everything's going to be cool, right? Like, I turn the corner, and this grandpa wants to kill me still. So I'm like, all right, so, like, we're cool, but you still want to kill me. And this is after I gave him a shirt. I let him hit me. I let him kick me. Like, and, like, the whole point of that idea was I was like, hey, let's let the kid do some stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And what's funny is, like, grandpa threw child out of the way to get at me.
So he's putting the boots to you for something that he did.
Yeah. So like I said, I mean, it's I got plenty of road stories. That was the latest one.
Yeah.
A funnier one was I was in Iowa and working this guy. And he's not very good. So he throws me into the wall, right?
Okay.
It's plaster. I go through the wall.
Oof.
So, like, it was a good night.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, they hired me back. I wrestled there a couple more times after that. But, I mean, like, I went through the wall.
Well, I suppose, did they film it at all?
I've never seen tape of it.
I mean, like, if they're doing DVDs, I mean, that makes good for a DVD if you're going.
I think the company is long gone and dead.
Sure.
But, I was just like, whatever, and I left, and I remember getting in the locker room, and somebody's like, who the hell, who went through the wall? And I was just like, I don't know, man.
Like, I don't know, the guy with plaster on his back, maybe?
That guy out there, he's an idiot, though.
So you've been to Iowa, you've been, obviously, to Bruce City in Wisconsin. You wrestle a lot in Illinois, so where you wrestle in Illinois?
Illinois right now is Godly, Illinois. Villa Park.
Is Grandpa still in Godly?
What?
Is Grandpa still in Godly?
No.
No? Not anymore?
Oh, yeah, that Grandpa?
Grandpa.
He's still there.
Okay.
Every month he likes to death stare me.
Huh?
And, you know, maybe one day we'll be friends, but...
Maybe.
Until then, you
Until
know,
then, you're just expecting to get the boots?
I'll just wink at him. Let him know who he's paying to see. So Godly, Villa Park, Rochelle... I was in Woodstock for a while. Not really doing that anymore. Illinois, that's pretty much it. It's been a lot of Wisconsin and Illinois lately. Iowa, here and there. I've had some good times in Iowa. We got to go to South Dakota for a shot about a year ago. That was great. Just good times.
Anywhere that you want to go in the future? Any place that you're kind of keeping an eye on? Or
anywhere, really.
Anywhere?
I mean, if it's, you know, if they're open to me being there, that's the dream, right? I mean, you're only going to do it for so long.
True.
So I'd like to mark off some more states for sure.
So if people want to help you mark off those states, how do they get a hold of you for booking?
Outlaw J on Facebook. That's probably the best. I mean, I've tried Twitter and stuff. I'm just not... I don't really get Twitter.
Yeah, it's not for everybody.
So, like, J Cross, Facebook.com is a good way. I would probably get that. I have a CrossJ89 at Yahoo.com.
Okay.
That you can get a hold of me. I should probably check it. But,
he's got, like, thousands of messages. Hey, man, we want to bring you in.
Probably. Like, and I feel bad, but I just Facebook's probably the easiest way.
So Facebook.com/OutlawJ.
Yeah, just type in J Cross with a K.
That works.
And you'll find me.
Alrighty. Well, a year in the making, I say it's well worth it.
It was a good time, man.
Good time. Thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we'll be back with Nick and Jesse right after this.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
If you want to ask me, ask me. And say, hey, Nicholas Joseph Ragnar. What just happened in the middle of the ring? Bull.
Keeping you up to date on the Midwestern independent wrestling.
Yeah, I'm cussing on TV because I don't care.
For the latest pro wrestling news, keep it locked to www.gerweck.net. Gerwick.net. Pro wrestling. since 1997.
Ryan Yanishadis here from the Ringside Report to remind you to watch the Ringside Report every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6 p.m. on YouTube. Brandon McGrath and I discuss WWE, TNA, and the local independent scene. Go to youtube.com/RB Enterprises. That is the Ringside Report, your front row seat to all things wrestling.
What's up, guys? This is professional wrestler Rennie D.
And this is Travis Dirty Mester.
We're the hosts of The Pencil, the professional wrestling podcast every Tuesday.
On iTunes, YouTube, Podbean, and Stitcher.
We bring you guests from the WWE, TNA, and all the major independent wrestling promotions around the world.
Follow us on Twitter at Pencil Podcast or on the World Wide Web, PencilPodcast.com.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Chris Lockman, host of the Smart Money Wrestling Podcast. Join me and my co-host, AJ Jensen, each week as we discuss all things professional wrestling. WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground, New Japan, as well as the local indie scene here in Wisconsin. We'll also bring you interviews with some of the Midwest up-and-coming independent stars and where you can see them in your area. You can find us on SoundCloud and iTunes, as well as on Twitter, at Smart Money. Check us out.
Hi, this is the Minnesota Madman, Doug Meyer, host of the wrestling podcast on the DVM Podcast Empire.
One Ball Radio.
We recap Raw, NXT, Ring of Honor, and other shows of the week. We interview wrestlers, go back in time with This Week in Wrestling History, and we go, hey, whatever happened to? Check us out on iTunes or DVMPE.com.
Tune into the Indie Power Rankings reveal every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio, Filling the Void Radio Network. You can also subscribe to Filling the Void Radio Network on iTunes. Give a follow to the Indie Power Rankings on Twitter at Indie Power Ranking, no GS, Instagram at Indie Power Rankings, on Facebook, facebook.com/IndiePowerRankings. You can also go to the website where you can see the top 10 for the week, the tag team top 5, anything else independent wrestling related, indiepowerrankingsipr.wordpress.com.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Keeping you up.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Keeping you up.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Keeping you up to date on Midwestern independent wrestling.
Yeah, it's like it's one of those really cool things. You never really expect to run into a second generation superstar in the Midwest. Usually, it's one of those national things. Mm-hmm. But it's really
usually
kinda cool.
Essentially a guy is signed to the WWE, and then you find out he's second generation.
Yep, right. So that's yeah. Good job, man.
Thank you. At the same time, though, I didn't know about that until Jesse had talked to me about that because you and. You and Jay were talking about that, I guess, at one of the shows. Correct?
Yeah, it was almost like a year ago. I was trying to get him on the podcast, yeah. Trying to actually make it work out. And it's just going to be like, oh, yeah, we'll get him on. We'll get him on. Big leaguer over here. We'll get him on. We'll get him on.
Well, that's the thing is, we talked about that in the podcast, too. It was literally a year in the making because of the fact that, mm-hmm. It wasn't like me trying to big time. It was, trying to coordinate with him about a time to talk to him here, when we did in-studio interviews over the phone. And it was one of those situations where, hey, man, we're all available around 6 o'clock on Wednesday. Does that work for you? No, man, I can't do that. I got to work till 9. It's like, well, mm-hmm. That's way too late for all of us, so we can't do that. And it's like, well, my schedule, variates, so we'll figure it out. And then it's like we'd have an interview slated for the next time and next time. And then it's like, we need an interview. We'll talk to Jay again. Well, I got to work at that time. It's like,
I remember that.
Mother. And then so it was one of those things where I'm glad it finally worked out. It's kind of surprising that it took a year for us to realize we could just interview him at a show. But
it kind of took a long time for us to realize we could do that with any interview.
That's,
so it
that's
wasn't
true.
Anything on Jay Cross. It was just how it's kind
of. No, bad. It's nothing on Jay Cross or any of the guys, but it's just like it's on us, it's on me to be like, well, I have a phone. I could just record an interview and we could just take care of it like that. Because, we started doing the in-studio ones just. Just over the phone ones with the voice recorder, I think the first one was with Jason Michaels, and I think that was just because he was there. So it's just things.
Wow, you almost fell asleep on that ramble.
No, but I was backing myself into a corner, And I just was like,
No one puts AC in a corner.
No one puts me in a corner, brother.
Especially me. Wait.
Eugene put me in a corner once, and then he took all my clothes off. I don't want to talk about that, though. Let's go to tape study.
Listen, that might be someone's fan fiction right there.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah,
probably is.
I know whose fan fiction that is.
Let's do tape study, please.
All right, tape study this week. Okay, of course. You know, you guys probably – did you guys get actually a chance to actually watch Nakamura and Balor?
No, I have not watched
it. I have not gotten that. It's on my list.
Should it be watched?
It is definitely worth watching. But it wasn't the first time they actually collided. They did collide in the G1 tournament. So we're going to do that matchup this week on our tape study.
I did watch that one.
That was
a good
one.
When Nakamura first got signed, because I was really interested. And I watched that match because I was interested in Balor over in Japan.
Yeah.
And yes.
It's a fun match.
Yes, it is.
So that's this week's tape study.
Fantastic. That's a good tape study. AC Riley, closing comments.
I actually got two things. First things first, this is something that came up over the weekend. Guys, get your promo shots. If you're wrestling, if you're trying to send stuff out to promoters, you're sending stuff out to the guy that's making a poster because you're part of the draw or whatever. You're essentially part of the big attraction for the event. Get those promo shots. Like, you know, if you see anybody taking photos, just like, hey, do you mind just getting a photo for me for the promoter? Because I, you know, as a guy that makes posters, like, I've seen guys be like, well, here's like an action shot of me posing in front of the curtains. Like, that's an action shot in my opinion. And most of the times it's like the person taking the photo is just getting the big picture. And essentially if they try to crop you out, you get pixelated. So it's not really a good photo. And you know, even like case in point, that when we were at Beaver Dam, you had like TW3, you know, getting photos like for Ring of Honor because like he needed a recent promo shot. And yeah, it was an outside show, and you know, the lighting isn't always favorable opposed to like an inside, you know, one where you have the backdrop and you can have the light. But it was still something. It's still like at least making that effort. So if you're a wrestler, get promo shots done, even if it's just you are at home and your significant other or your family member is just taking the camera and you're just in a backdrop, do that. Because that's something I had to do when I was in college taking promo shots. I would just get a sheet from my bed and then just get a photo taken. You know, simple as that.
Good thing that bed wasn't getting a lot of action, dude.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Been fluids everywhere,
yep.
Man.
Nope, no fluids for me. Ah, wait.
Nice. Numero dos. What else you got?
Numero dos. We talked a little bit about it in the show. We were talking about Pokemon Go. But one thing I just want to say is that for the people that kind of discredit Pokemon Go and they stick up their nose in the air, it's like, what's so wrong about it? Is it, because like I was talking with a couple people about this like for, you know, a good couple of minutes, is, you know, it's making people active. It's, you know, it's a good way to kind of, you know, revive that love that a lot of people had for Pokemon back in the day. Like I loved you know, playing Red back as a kid, and you know, I would play, you know, some of the other generation games. Like I kind of fell out of it when it evolved outside of Advance, you know, when it was on the DS and everything like that. But you know, having this come out, it was just like, this is fantastic. This is a lot of fun. It's encouraging people to go outside. It's combating, you know, depression essentially, because there's people that are like, oh, I don't want to go outside, but it's like you kind of have to if you want to catch Pokemon. And so they're getting outside. People that need to get exercise are getting their exercise. And you know, the thing I like is that you can go to Riverside and you know there'd be the hot babes or the nerds or anybody, you know, walking around, and everybody's on their phone playing Pokemon Go, and you can just look up and nobody's
you
like
saw some of that spit bud.
Yeah, but like you can look down your phone, look up, and somebody did the exact same thing, and you're just like, oh hey, you know, I know what you're doing, you know what I'm doing, hey, like, now how's it going? And what I like, too, is that there's a lot of wrestlers that will do this. So, like, we were at Beaver Dam, and then it was just like, hey, there's a Gobat by the ring. And nobody's judging it, but, like, there are a few people that are. So I guess just closing comment with that is let people have fun. If you don't like it, don't play it. Simple as that.
Yeah.
You know, if you like Brussels sprouts and nobody else does, they don't have to eat Brussels sprouts.
Well, you're missing out on some important nutrition with the Brussels sprouts, though.
Yeah. Editorial by AC Riley.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Who's that guy in 60 Minutes that used to do that?
I don't know.
Do you know?
60 Minutes.
There's a ton of people on 60 Minutes.
Anyways.
What, the guy that died recently?
Yeah. He always had, like, the editorial at the end.
Didn't Mickey Rooney do one?
He probably did, but I don't think that's the guy I'm thinking of.
Hmm. Or maybe it was Andy Rooney.
Andy Rooney. That's
who
it was.
Yeah, it was a Rooney brother. All right, cool, guys. That was another good episode of Grapple Talk. Hopefully this weekend you guys go out there, enjoy some pro wrestling, get some Pokemon Go action. Hey, guys, guess what? People are doing more Pokemon Go than porn and Tinder right now.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. So go out to the show. You know, make sure to hit us up while you're on your phones. Facebook.com/TheGrappleTalk. Check out where the wrestling shows are, because if you go to a wrestling show, there's a good chance that you're going to meet a lot of other Pokemon goers, which means it's going to be a hotbed for Pokemon. Uh-huh. So if you're playing Pokemon Go or you just want to see some action, both in the ring and outside the ring, if you know what I mean, Facebook.com/TheGrappleTalk, place to go for all upcoming shows. That does it for this week's Grapple Talk, everybody. Thanks for joining us, and hey, why not? Stay classy.
Thank you for tuning in to Grapple Talk.
I would say the traditional one. something like that. I don't know.
What was that?
I don't know.
Beatboxing by A.C. Riley, not available in stores for good reason.
With Nick Ragnar, A.C. Riley, and Jesse Von Ruden.
Man, we just got some stuff for the blooper reel, that's all I'm saying.
Our entire podcast is the blooper reel.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.